be horrified to know how badly Langdon had failed him. Chapter 25.
My God, Catherine was right, as usual.
Trish Dunn stared in amazement at the search spider results that were materializing on the plasma wall before her. She had doubted the search would turn up any results at all, but in fact she now had over a dozen hits, and they were still coming in. One entry in particular looked quite promising. Trish turned and shouted in the direction of the library.
Catherine, I think you'll want to see this.
It had been a couple of years since Trish had run a search spider like this, and tonight's results astounded her. A few years ago, this search would have been a dead end. Now, however, it seemed that the quantity of searchable digital material in the world had exploded to the point where someone could find literally anything. Incredibly, one of the keywords was a word Trish had never even heard before, and the search even found that. Catherine rushed through the control room door.
What have you got?
A bunch of candidates. Trish motioned to the plasma wall.
Every one of these documents contains all of your key phrases verbatim.
Catherine tucked her hair behind her ear and scanned the list.
Before you get too excited, Trish added, I can assure you that most of these documents are not what you're looking for. They're what we call black holes. Look at the file sizes. Absolutely enormous. They're things like compressed archives of millions of emails, giant unabridged encyclopedia sets, global message boards that have been running for years, and so forth. By virtue of their size and diverse content, these files contain so many potential keywords that they suck in any search engine that comes anywhere near them.
Catherine pointed to one of the entries near the top of the list.
How about that one?
Trish smiled. Catherine was a step ahead, having found the sole file on the list that had a small file size.
Good eyes. Yeah, that's really our only candidate so far. In fact, that file's so small it can't be more than a page or so.
Open it. Catherine's tone was intense. Trish could not imagine a one-page document containing all the strange search strings Catherine had provided. Nonetheless, when she clicked and opened the document, the key phrases were there, crystal clear and easy to spot in the text. Catherine strode over, eyes riveted to the plasma wall.
This document is redacted?
Trish nodded.
Welcome to the world of digitized text.
Automatic redaction had become standard practice when offering digitized documents. Redaction was a process wherein a server allowed a user to search the entire text, but then revealed only a small portion of it, a teaser of sorts. Only that text immediately flanking the requested keywords. By omitting the vast majority of the text, the server avoided copyright infringement and also sent the user an intriguing message. I have the information you're searching for, but if you want the rest of it, you'll have to buy it from me.
As you can see, Trish said, scrolling through the heavily abridged page, the document contains all of your key phrases.
Catherine stared up at the redaction in silence. Trish gave her a minute, and then scrolled back to the top of the page. Each of Catherine's key phrases was underlined in capital letters and accompanied by a small sample of teaser text, the two words that appeared on either side of the requested phrase.
Secret location.
Underground. Where the... Somewhere in Washington, D.C. The coordinates... Uncovered an ancient portal that led... Warning. The pyramid holds dangerous... Decipher this engraved symbol on to unveil... Trish could not imagine what this document was referring to. And what the heck is a symbol on? Catherine stepped eagerly toward the screen.
Where did this document come from? Who wrote it?
Trish was already working on it.
Give me a second. I'm trying to chase down the source.
I need to know who wrote this, Catherine repeated, her voice intense. I need to see the rest of it.
I'm trying,
Trish said, startled by the edge in Catherine's tone. Strangely, the file's location was not displaying as a traditional web address, but rather as a numeric internet protocol address.
I can't unmask the IP, Trish said. The domain name's not coming up. Hold on.
She pulled up her terminal window.
I'll run a trace route.
Trish typed the sequence of commands to ping all the hops between her control room's machine and whatever machine was storing this document.
Tracing now,
she said, executing the command. Trace routes were extremely fast, and a long list of network devices appeared almost instantly on the plasma wall. Trish scanned down, down, through the path of routers and switches that connected her machine to... What the hell? Her trace had stopped before reaching the document server. Her ping, for some reason, had hit a network device that swallowed it rather than bouncing it back.
It looks like my trace route got blocked, Trish said.
Is that even possible?
Run it again.
Trish launched another trace route and got the same result.
Nope.
Dead end. It's like this document is on a server that is untraceable. She looked at the last few hops before the dead end. I can tell you, though, it's located somewhere in the DC area.
You're kidding.
Not surprising, Trish said. These spider programs spiral out geographically, meaning the first results are always local. Besides, one of your search strings was Washington, D.C.
How about a who is search? Catherine prompted. Wouldn't that tell you who owns the domain?
A bit lowbrow, but not a bad idea. Trish navigated to the Who Is database and ran a search for the IP, hoping to match the cryptic numbers to an actual domain name. Her frustration was now tempered by rising curiosity. Who has this document? The Who Is results appeared quickly, showing no match, and Trish held up her hands in defeat.
It's like this IP address doesn't exist. I can't get any information about it at all.
Obviously the IP exists. We've just searched a document that's stored there.
True.
And yet whoever had this document apparently preferred not to share his or her identity.
I'm not sure what to tell you. Systems traces aren't really my thing, and unless you want to call in someone with hacking skills, I'm at a loss.
Do you know someone? Trish turned and stared at her boss.
Catherine, I was kidding. It's not exactly a great idea.
But it is done. She checked her watch.
Yeah, all the time.
Technically, it's pretty easy.
Who do you know?
Hackers? Trish laughed nervously.
Like half the guys at my old job?
Anyone you trust?
Is she serious?
Trish could see Catherine was dead serious.
Well, yeah, she said hurriedly. I know this one guy we could call. He was our systems security specialist. Serious computer geek.
He wanted to date me, which kind of sucked, but he's a good guy and I'd trust him. Also, he does freelance.
Can he be discreet?
He's a hacker. Of course he can be discreet. That's what he does, but I'm sure he'd want at least $1,000 to even look.
Call him. Offer him double for fast results.
Trish was not sure what made her more uncomfortable, helping Catherine Solomon hire a hacker or calling a guy who probably still found it impossible to believe a pudgy, red-headed metasystems assistant would rebuff his romantic advances.
You're sure about this?
Use the phone in the library, Catherine said. It's got a blocked number, and obviously don't use my name.